Welcome back into a fabulous Wednesday. Nice temperatures are dropping a little bit, so it's not so insane out here as things are happening in the world. My gosh. We got craziness that just happened, of course, in all of our hearts. And prayers go out to all the people in Washington, D.C., and the folks on the Navy base, and wow. And then last night out here in Los Angeles, I was just telling our guest, I turned on the news, and somebody had called up and threatened a middle school to go in and just start shooting innocent children. Fortunately, that was halted, and I'm like, wow, what is going on? And we were talking about the fact of a cosmic puppet show. Our very special guest today out in the great state of Indianapolis, Indiana, John Lynn. John, welcome on board. And things are getting kind of weird here in this world, are they not?
Yeah, they've been weird, Rob, for quite a while, if the Bible is true. And, of course, this is, I think, the 14th time I've been on here with you. And so the folks out there, if you've heard me before, you know that if the Bible is not true, if the Word of God is not the Word of God, then most of this is baloney. But thank you so much for having me.
Lot of insanity going around. It just seems to just keep escalating. I'm not sure what's going on here. You're going to explain it because this is what your passion has been for the last 45 years plus in studying the truth of the Bible. And today our show is themed A Cosmic Puppet Show. Give us more on that, John.
Yeah, there's a question mark at the end of that phrase, and that's what I titled this for the people that I know who tune into this. We send out an email blast every time I'm going to be on to those on our mailing list, the Living Truth Fellowship, TLTF.org. If anything I say makes sense to you this morning or this afternoon or wherever you are, you can go to TLTF.org and find a lot of elaboration on that. The question is life a cosmic puppet show? Because very sad to say, the answer is no, by the way, but very sad to say, that is how many, many people in the world, and even some Christians, if you really unpack their theology, which of course is not biblical, that's what they think. In other words, they think, many people, that there is some unseen being pulling strings to make everything happen as he wills it to happen. Now, Christian people would call him God. And many of them say God is in control. There's a nice song. I mean, the tune is nice. The words are not very good. They need explanation. And that's why we wrote a book, not actually to go with the song, but it would be nice. We wrote a book called Don't Blame God. You can get it on our website. It's 200 pages. I think it should be required reading for humanity because I think the root of all human sin, and really sin is simply not trusting God and taking matters into our own hands. That's what the first man did, Adam, and he left the rest of us in the soup. Whenever I do not do what God says in his word is best for me, it is simply at the very bottom line, and I hate to even admit this, but it's because I don't trust him. And so that means somewhere my picture of him needs to come into better focus. But most people are taught, even Christian people, and most people think for some reason, because that's not what God says if we let him speak for himself, but they think God is in control. You hear it constantly in Christian circles, and it's making some people dizzy in those Christian circles. Because you know good and well that God is not in control of your life, right? I mean, I do, because I would never have done some of the ridiculously stupid things that I've done if God were controlling me like a puppet. Of course not. And we will get into all of these things with freedom of will versus God's foreknowledge. There is no juxtaposition there that cannot be explained from the Word of God. Then you have other questions involved here. And you know, if you're listening out there somewhere around the world today or whenever you listen to this, this is, you know, we've written a number of other books that are very enlightening and have changed people's lives, but the Don't Blame God book might be the most important thing we've ever done, because most people have a faulty image of God, and we're going to talk all about Jesus Christ, who is the perfect image of the invisible God. So lots of people say God either causes tragedy and evil. That would be what is called Calvinism, theologically speaking, and it's a blight on Christianity. Is that once upon a time in the beginning, when God was all by himself, he decided that he was going to make things work out exactly as history has shown them to work out. Now, there's no way I could love that God. I can't do it. I mean, the Holocaust, oh my gosh, there's a Holocaust going on in every city in the world, basically, when you talk about shredded human lives and so forth. And to think that somehow God, who the Bible says is all love, that somehow once upon a time he had this master plan, you'll hear that term thrown around in Christian circles, that he had this master plan which encompasses all the tragedy, all the Hitlers and the Saddams and the psychos and tyrants who have oppressed people. Rob and I were discussing the topic for this show today, and he sent me a little note asking, among other things, like, why is there so much poverty? And I have that on my page here, and we'll talk about that at some point. But it's not because it's God's will, that's for sure. Because if God is all good, then he does not ever cause any bad thing to happen. Now, some people say, oh, well, no, God didn't cause. I mean, we can't believe and we can't teach people that he actively was the cause. Words have meanings now, so think about the definition of these words, that he was the cause of the unspeakable human tragedy for 6,000 years. Adam was created by God about 6,000 years ago, and I like to say, I do say this in a teaching and in our class, One Day with the Creator, our foundational class, which you can get on our website. I highly recommend it. But I say, when God looks at the world, he sees an ocean that's not on any map. And that ocean is an ocean of human tears. The tears wept by, I don't know, there are 7 billion people on the earth now. I dare say everyone has wept about some kind of tragedy at some point in his life. So there are a few other billion people that lived before us. So I don't know, 10, 15 billion people weeping their way through life. And yes, not everyone is afflicted every day, but you know good and well, if you take an honest look at life, that people's lives are shredded by tragedy. And so the question, the age-old question, which we'll begin to unpack after the break, is, if God is all love, then why do bad things happen to good people? And really the bottom line is, can we really know the answer to all of these questions that we've asked so far? And the answer is yes, if we let God speak for himself, just like you would want to speak for yourself about your own heart.
Wow. John Lennon is our very special guest today out in the great state of Indiana and Indianapolis. And it is titled A Cosmic Puppet Show with a Question Mark. We're going to answer some questions that, you know, about poverty, different things that people are looking at the world and going, wait a minute, this place is a mess. Why would it be a mess if God is all love? And John's going to answer some of those questions, as he has already. And we're going to continue on with that. But you can go online at tltf.org. That's tltf.org. And go online. They've got a lot of great teachings on there and all kinds of stuff. One Day with the Creator, End Times on there, some great DVDs and CDs, all kinds of books on there as well. And you can become part of their mailing list as well and find out more about their organization, the Living Truth Fellowship. And all of the shows here, including today's show that John does and all of the other wonderful members of the Living Truth Fellowship and all of our guests are recorded and available on iTunes. If you just Google Rob Ekno, E-K-O, and you'll see it says iTunes. Just click on that link. It'll take you right there. And all 200-plus shows are all sitting right there. All you've got to do is put the play button on and listen for absolutely free. It's God's show, and he allows us to be on the airwaves, and we give back what is freely given to us. We're going to take ourselves a short break. We're coming back more with John Lynn after these messages. Welcome back into our Wednesday Hump Day show, and what a way to get over any humps you may be trying to climb by using God and hopping on his back and allowing him to carry you over, or perhaps find you a way to tunnel under that mountain that faces you, go around it, fly over it. Somehow, some way, if you put him at the forefront, he will take care of you and you'll be able to accomplish things and get over any situations of negativity in your life by putting him at the forefront. And today, you know, the world is kind of going kind of crazy, as it has been for a while, but it seems to be picking up steam for some unknown reason. And the title of our show is called A Cosmic Puppet Show with a Question Mark. So that is actually a question. Our very good friend John Lynn is our very special guest, and we're talking about this and God being in control and God's free will and, you know, did God mastermind all of this negative nonsense and so on. And John, you're explaining to us that that's not quite how it all happens.
Oh, not at all, Rob. I made the point before the break that none of us would want people making up things about us unless they were really good. But bad things about us, you know how offended you feel when someone lies about you and says that you're a thief or you're this or that. And God has feelings. And again, I'll be getting to Jesus. That's how we know God has feelings, because Jesus is the perfect image of the invisible God. And so, of course, a couple days ago, we had another mass shooting in the D.C. Navy Yard. And it's just, you know, another in the long string of terrible happenings like this. And, of course, then it generates more speculation. What it should generate is people standing up and saying, oh my gosh, we need to come back to God and Jesus Christ and understand what they say about life so that we can help people to live good lives and love people and become like Jesus Christ. Because most people, there are, believe me, plenty of men will be up in their pulpit on Sunday saying that, this is another will of God, another example of something that God in his master plan is going to weave in and make it for good. But that's going to be extremely hard to sell to the families of those who were murdered. And let's use the word murder. All killing is not murder. All murder is killing. But all killing is not murder. You have self-defense, that's not murder. Executing criminals, that's not murder. That's kind of social self-defense and so forth. But so this psycho went in there and murdered these innocent people and generated unspeakable grief for how many people that loved each of those people. Who knows? Only God knows. And so people say, well, couldn't God have stopped that? The answer is no. How do we know that? Give me a J, give me an E, give me an S-U-S. How do we know anything about God? We let God speak for himself. Now, once upon a time I heard a saying that said, the word of God is the will of God, meaning the written word of God as found in the Bible reveals the word of God. Well, everyone can understand that, because if you go out to dinner tonight, the waitress is going to come to your table, he or she, whatever, and she'll say, may I take your order? And what she's really asking you is, what do you will? What do you want? Will, same, synonymous. And you say, I will a cheeseburger. Okay? So you, if you tell the truth, your word reveals your will. Now, Jesus Christ is the subject of Scripture from Genesis 3:15 on. Many of the shows that I've done with Rob, I've elaborated on that, and you just can't say it too much, because he is the living word. The written word reveals God, and the Bible never says any of the ridiculous things that people say about God, that he's in control, and everything that happens is somehow part of his will. Now, we know that immediately that's crazy because of the Lord's Prayer. Most of us have heard of the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus said, pray that the will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, what is that saying? That's saying that not everything that happens on earth is the will of God. That would be absurd. If everything that were happening on the will of on earth were the will of God, then Jesus would never have said to pray that. The truth is that about point something of 1% of what's happening on the earth is the will of God, because God never wills bad things to happen. So back to the question, why didn't God stop the psycho in D.C. the other day? The answer, because he couldn't. How do we know? Because we look at Jesus Christ and we look at the written word, and both of them, and I'll give you examples with Jesus in particular, because sometimes he's a little easier to see. Sometimes some of the verses, the Hebrew scriptures, which is what we call the Old Testament, much more accurate term to describe Genesis through Malachi is the Hebrew scriptures. Some of those verses require some education, some understanding. Why did God use a very different way of speaking before Christ came than he did after Christ came? Why is the devil not revealed in the old the Hebrew scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, when he's clearly revealed when Jesus showed up and in the church epistles? Many things said about the devil. Nothing said about the devil in the Hebrew scriptures. And so the answer is that if God is love, then he stops all evil he can. Now, think about you. You're sitting at home tonight watching television with your dear wife and children. Some guy knocks on the door and says, I'm going to come in and beat up your family. Well, you going to allow that? What does the word allow mean? The word allow means I could stop something, but I choose not to. That's sick, right? You're not going to allow. You're going to slam the door, call the police. You're going to do, and if he came in, you would do whatever it took to stop him. Sure you would. And you're not even God, right? Okay, so how about God? God is love. That means by his very nature and character, he cannot do, think, or say anything that's not totally loving. Now, how do we know that if Jesus had been at the D.C. Navy Yard, that guy would not have shot anyone? Because we look at records like John chapter 9. What I'm talking about here is Jesus interrupting the devil's status quo. The Bible says that because of the sin of the first Adam, Jesus Christ is called the last Adam in the Bible. Remember, the Bible is a story of two men. The first guy ruined everything. The last guy is fixing it. That's the simple story of the Bible. Because of the first Adam's willful disobedience to God, he transferred his dominion over the world to the devil. And God, who is just, must honor the legality of that dominion. The Bible says Satan is the god, small g, real small. He's the god of this age. The age is called the present evil age in Galatians 1:4, and it is the time period between when the first Adam transferred the God-given dominion over to the devil until the future time when the last Adam, Jesus, takes it back from the devil by force and destroys him, annihilates him, terrorizes him once and for all. In the meantime, Satan, according to 1 John 5:19, is exerting the dominant influence on the world. And that should be very clear to see. I mean, from any newspaper, any news broadcast, the tragedy going on your city block is indescribable. So this is what we'll look at. I'll give you those examples after the break, because Jesus Christ took every opportunity he could to interrupt Satan's status quo and deliver people from his oppression.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me, John, of being a parent, and we sit there and we try to project examples to our children of what not to do and what not to get involved with, and we can, you know, portray a godly image to our children, but still, once they get a little bit older and they get to be teenagers and stuff, they still seem sometimes to want to go out and experiment and throw all that stuff out the window. That's kind of what you're talking about, right?
Yes, absolutely, because we'll talk about this. You have genuine free will. God, because without free will, love is not love. If you're programmed to love someone, well, that doesn't mean that much to the other person. You don't have a choice. But when you have a choice and you choose to love, there's nothing like that, to be loved by someone with a godly love because he chooses. And that's what God has done. We're all knuckleheads. And God chose to give his son, and Jesus chose to go to the cross because of their love for us, not because of anything we have done or not done.
Absolutely. We're coming right back after these messages. We're in Indianapolis, Indiana today with our good friend John Lynn. Go online and check out TLTF.org, the Living Truth Fellowship. And go online and check out some of their great teachings, books, all kind of wonderful things for you to grab for yourself to learn more about the Word. We're coming right back.
Just doesn't get any better than this.
Indy 104.
Has anyone ever told you the Bible is full of myths, fables, and contradictions? Have you ever heard that God works in mysterious ways? Or that God allows tragedy and suffering? If we let God speak for himself, we find that none of those things are true.
This is John Lynn, the teacher of One Day with the Creator, a thrilling journey into the heart of God that will equip you with the tools you need to understand His Word and live it day by day. This step-by-step teaching will introduce you to the risen Lord Jesus Christ, and He will help you overcome fear and worry, live with a powerful purpose, and truly love the people in your life.
Starring Jesus Christ, One Day with the Creator is filled with heart and humor. There is nothing like it on the planet. Order your copy today at tltf.org/class. That's tltf.org/class. Don't delay. Order today at tltf.org/class.
Welcome back into our show here on this fabulous Wednesday, live from Los Angeles. In Your Face is heard every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. here on Indy104.com. Now, 70% of our audience actually listens on some type of wireless device, whether it be a laptop at the coffee shop or your cell phone. There's an application called TuneInRadio.com, and you can hook that up on your cell phone and listen as well. Many people do. You can also play it through the Bluetooth in your car if you have that as well. And enjoy, and don't forget, all shows like this are recorded and put on iTunes. So you can go back and listen to all the great teachings of John Lynn and all the wonderful people at the Living Truth Fellowship, tltf.org. Go online, check them out, and enjoy some of the wonderful teachings they have. And today we're concentrating on our theme. It's actually a question. It's a cosmic puppet show, which has a question mark at the end. We're kind of talking about some of the insane things that happen in the world. You know, people that say, well, if God was in control, this stuff wouldn't really happen. Why does God allow this stuff to happen? And John's been so profoundly explaining that in the Lord's Prayer that you hit us. Many people probably have not paid attention to that, but, you know, we ask that on earth as it is in heaven, thy will be done. So it's true then that what you're saying is that, you know, God's will is being done in heaven, but we need to step up to the plate and make it happen here on earth. Would that not be correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The will of God doesn't happen unless he gets human cooperation. I mean, you're the waitress doesn't get your order unless you cooperate and express your will. So God's biggest problem is he's invisible, and that means he's got a major image problem, because it's easy to tell lies about someone who's invisible, because it's sort of like he can't defend himself. Well, so for many years, God just put up with it, but finally, it came time for him to have a son and only begotten son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, and he perfectly obeyed the written word. Jesus is our example. He wasn't some God-man robot. He was a human being, and he still is a human being at the right hand of God. 1 Timothy 2:5 tells us there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, you the man, Christ Jesus. So he had free will. He could have sinned like the first Adam, but instead, because he loved God and he loved people, he chose to perfectly. That's why he could say, as he did, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everyone knows what that means. Oh, your dad is just like you. You are just like your father. Jesus Christ is the will of God revealed. And so, how did Jesus deal with the blind man who had been born blind? John chapter 9 in the four Gospels. And so Jesus and the boys came across this gentleman, and he had been born blind. And I think the record says he was about 40 years old. Now, don't let those just be words on a page. What if that were you? What if you never saw a rose or a smile on someone's face, or you never saw the sign? This guy was blind from birth, and so the disciples were a little on the wrong channel. They said, hey, Lord, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus just rolled his eyes and said, excuse me, that's not the question. He said, neither one sin is the reason why this guy is born blind. He said, that's really not the question. The question we need to ask is, what are we going to do about this situation? And he healed the blind man as a classic example of the will of God to heal every person. Did Jesus attribute the man's blindness to a master plan? Did he say, well, boys, you just don't have the big picture. This is all part of God's plan. Somehow God is trying to teach this man something and his parents. How'd you like to have a child born blind and all the joy of birth and so forth, and there's the little baby, and he's blind? That's pretty hard on the human heart. And, of course, you still love the child, but it's heartbreaking. So, once upon a time, another time, Jesus came on this woman. She was bent completely over from the waist. It's in the Gospel of Luke. I think it's 11 or 13 or 17, one of those in their chapters. Anyway, and he said, should this daughter of Abraham continue to be bound by Satan? 18 years this woman had been bent over like this, and Jesus cast out a demon that was the cause of her affliction. Now, not everyone who's bent over is bent over because of a demon, an evil spirit, but some are. There are many kinds of demons, any kinds of evil spirits, deafness, blindness, dumbness, but not every deaf person is deaf because of that. Many are born with an injury or they get hurt in life and so forth. But the point is that Jesus attributed the woman's affliction to Satan. God gave us genuine free will. The idea of Calvinism, that God planned everything that happened, means that you don't really have free will. I mean, I'm on the radio with Rob, so I can't see his shoes, but I'm assuming that he got up and looked at some pairs of shoes in his closet and decided, all right, I'm wearing these today. But some would say, well, you really didn't have any choice, because the other alternative to Calvinism is Arminianism, which says God did not plan everything, but once upon a time in the beginning, he saw everything and the way it would all turn out. Well, that's really not that much different in terms of blaming him for evil, because then you would say, wait a minute, are you telling me that God knew that Lucifer, this angel, would rebel against him and become the devil? Are you telling me that God knew that Adam would rebel against him and wreak indescribable havoc on mankind, and he still went ahead with it? And most Christians have to say, yeah, that is what I'm telling you, but you should still love him. Folks, that's a hard sell. It's much easier to love the God of the Bible, who portrays himself as with us in the trenches of life. Now, he can see much farther down the road in your life than you can, because he knows what you're thinking, and he knows what the people who are involved in your life are thinking, or someone who's not yet involved with your life, like the mugger around the corner who's hiding, waiting to mug you, and so God could tell you about that, and so forth. But God does not have absolute foreknowledge, because the Bible doesn't say that. Absolute foreknowledge is a pagan, Hellenistic, Greek, Roman, whatever, concept that is not biblical. And the Christian church was sold a bill of goods by Plato and Augustine and other folks in this regard, because it is not what the Bible says. Because think about it logically. If God saw Rob's shoes 80 trillion years ago in the beginning, then there's no other way it could have turned out. He did not really have will. And many people use the term predestination. See, the Bible requires a little bit of study, and it was not written in English. It was written in Hebrew and Greek. And so we need to look up a few words and see how they're used in their different usages in Scripture. And nowhere does the Bible say that everything is unfolding according to the will of God. Jesus Christ wept when Lazarus died. Even though God told him to raise him from the dead, he still wept. Jesus hates death. He hates sickness. He weeps with you when you experience tragedy. And we see that in his life from beginning to end. He healed. It says he healed every person he possibly could, because that is the will of God. And after we come back for the last segment, I'll share a little more about this foreknowledge thing and point you to some things on our website that will help you to understand this, because it is liberating and it helps you to love God in a bit much bigger way.
All right, John Lynn is our very special guest this morning out in Indianapolis, Indiana. John, keep this on your plate and remind me of it when we come back. Because you're hitting right on. A lot of people do walk around, and when things are not going well in somebody's life, or they're going well in somebody's life, people will look at somebody and say, that's okay, you're right where God needs you to be. And keep that thought in mind for as we go into the break. We'll talk about that afterwards, and John's got some final thoughts for us. Don't forget, you can go online at thelivingtruthfellowship.org, thelivingtruthfellowship.org, TLTF.org. Go online and check out all their wonderful teachings on there as well, and many of their wonderful members of their group are also have been on our show as well. And boy, they deliver some amazing messages. If you go on iTunes, look up Robert Witt. You can also check out Franco Botley, a couple that come to mind, along with John Lynn as well. We've got some wonderful people coming up in the near future as well. And you can check them all out and learn from each of them. Larry Larimar, which he was just on a little while back. What a great show that was as well. We've had firemen from them. We've had policemen. We've had all kinds of angles going on from the Living Truth, and each person bringing a different perspective along with the truth. Rick Zeeden and Jeannie Zeeden as well. Thank you guys all for being a part of our wonderful show. We're coming back after this.
You're listening to Indy 104.
More In Your Face with Rob Echno happens now on Indy 104.
Welcome back into our final segment here on this Wednesday morning. I hope you're having an amazingly blessed day. And if for some reason things are not going in the way that you want them to, perhaps using your free will, you can change them around in a more positive way for you today. You can ask God for guidance, perhaps, and he may have some wonderful thoughts. I will say this, John, that I was driving across the desert a few weeks ago, and I shut off the radio, and I said, God, I want you to please talk to me as I drive across the desert here for 3 hours. I had no radio, and I must say, answers to questions that I had popped into my head that I would have never had I not shut the radio off and listened. So here's a quick question for you. Is he speaking? And when we pray, I'm guessing he hears our words.
Yes, it's not like Bruce Almighty with all the post-it notes. God can handle all of our requests. Now, once again, the Bible says that we need to pray in accordance with the will of God. You can't pray for your neighbor's house to be to fall into a sinkhole because you don't like the way he keeps his lawn. It has to be, when we pray, we want to pray according to the will of God. But yes, the most important thing about God speaking to us is that the Bible is the primary way in which he speaks to us. And once we come to his word and we learn some things about it, then we are more easily able to recognize the still small voice of God or Jesus Christ. Because why did God make people? For fellowship. He wanted a family. Well, hopefully in your family you talk and you share your joys and your sorrows and your challenges, and you help each other and you communicate. And the root word of communicate is UNI, uni, oneness. That's what it's all about. And so yes, God's word, do not attempt life without God's word, because he never intended you to live life without knowing him and his son. Now, Rob used the statement that some people say, that's okay, you're right where God wants you to be. Now, that could be true, but usually the way it's used, that's absolute bull. And sometimes people, remember, the Bible is not written in English, so you got a couple of verses that say, be content in the King James. Well, wait a minute. And you have to read the whole verse, but be content with cancer? I don't think so. Be content with poverty? I don't think so. That wouldn't make any sense. So then you look, and the Greek word doesn't say that. It says something a little differently that refers to you choosing your attitude from the inside out, no matter what the circumstances surrounding you are like. And the reason that there is tragedy, including poverty, is, first of all, there's a devil. He hates God, he hates Jesus, and he hates you. He hates every human being. There are wicked people who choose to work for the devil, and many of them are in the business of oppressing others. The love of money, the Bible says, the Bible does not say the love of money is the root of all evil. That doesn't make any sense. There are many evil things that happen that people have no monetary motivation in. The verse properly translated, 1 Timothy 6:10, says that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, and that's often very, very true. Follow the money. And so there are people in the world who do nothing but amass money at the expense of other people, and they keep other people in poverty, and then false ideas that government people employ, things contrary to the will of God, those keep people in poverty, and many politicians are invested in keeping many people in poverty so that they will vote for them because they're going to give them a handout, all this kind of thing. And it all goes against what God is trying to do, and Jesus is our primary example. He wants to liberate us. He wants to empower us from the inside out. And one of the most liberating things is the truth that God does not know what you're going to do 5 years from now, or even 5 days from now, totally. Now, God knows everything knowable. We're not talking about impugning God's ability to know. We're talking about what's available to know. Because if you have genuine free will, now think. Don't check your brain at the door with your hat when you go to church. If you have genuine free will, then your future free will choices do not yet exist for God to know them. Now, does he know what you're thinking? Cleaners at 4 p.m.? Sure, all of that, of course. But he knows the past perfectly. He knows the present perfectly. And based upon that, he has foreknowledge. He doesn't have absolute that he saw Rob's shoes 80 trillion years ago. But he has foreknowledge. He knows everything knowable, and he can make predictions. Some of them, he is so certain that he can see them coming to pass that he makes unconditional promises. More often than not, he makes conditional promises or prophecies, and they are conditional upon the cooperation of humans. And the classic example, which we have in our wonderful class, One Day with the Creator, which unpacks everything I've said in this last hour this morning. It elaborates on every biblical truth I have mentioned. But we have a beautiful graphic of two dinner plates side by side. One is piled high with brownies. The other is piled high with broccoli. And I make the point that every parent of a 5, 6, 10, whatever, year-old child has foreknowledge. Because if I ask you, I'm going to put a plate of broccoli, a plate of brownies in front of your kid, which one will he choose? Well, how do you, everyone, you know, mostly say brownies, but how do you know? Because of your knowledge of the past in regard to that child. But really, our knowledge, even of our children, is terribly incomplete. We don't know what they're thinking. And as Rob said, you know, sometimes they go off and we're shocked by it because we don't see it coming. So this is a fabulously liberating topic. You can go to our website. You can get our class. There's a teaching on the website, an audio teaching called God's Foreknowledge and Man's Free Will. This is one of my favorite topics, and you deserve a thorough exposition of this, because this is a very big topic, and the word foreknowledge, or the verb to foreknow, appears only 7 times in the whole Bible, and once it speaks of humans having foreknowledge and so forth. So it's not just some, foreknowledge, predestination. No, that is not at all what it's talking about, because the biggest problem with that is you cannot get God off the hook, because if he knew bad things were going to happen and he let them happen, then it's very hard for me to love him. But when I look at the life of Jesus, I see the heart of God and how he weeps about tragedy, and he does everything he can to stop it, because God is love.
Yeah, and it seems like far too many of us are trying to do everything we can to wreak havoc and revenge. And, you know, I said something the other day that, John, if we all got on our knees in the morning and we asked God to do his will for the day, what is his will for us for the day, as you mentioned in the Lord's Prayer, very difficult and almost impossible if we actually did God's will for each of us to create any type of havoc or negativity. Would that not be correct?
Yeah, sure. And he's trying to get through to us. I mean, you know, we're all humans, and sometimes we don't hear when he speaks, but there's no question. That's why the written word is indispensable, because it's a lot clearer than a thought maybe that you get and you wonder if that's God speaking to you. But often it is God speaking to you, especially if it's in the category of helping you to help someone else.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been talking with our good friend John Lynn today. The name of the show is titled A Cosmic Puppet Show with a question mark. It's actually a question, and we're talking about some of the insanity in God's will versus our free will, and does God, you know, have everything planned out, the entire world planned out for the next, you know, millions of years, and knows everything that's going on? And as John so aptly explained, he gives us free will, which allows us to make our own choices. He only wishes, of course, and hopes that we make choices. It was funny when I used to do all of my my drugs and stuff, John, earlier. I'd be driving down the freeway, Route 95, heading in Fort Lauderdale. I'd see cops coming by me all night long while I was going to meet the drug dealer and stuff, and I'd say, God, I know you don't want me to do this. You're sending me every sign under the sun to remind me that this is not a good thing, but I made the choice to go and still make purchases and use and different things like that. It had nothing to do with him. It wasn't his fault. It was on me.
Absolutely, absolutely. We can't blame God. And I highly recommend those of you listening out there to go to www.tltf.org and get the Don't Blame God book, get our foundational class, One Day with the Creator. It will change your life to know our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. John, thanks so much for being here. And John's show is going to be available shortly on iTunes, as are all of our wonderful guests here, and especially our friends from the Living Truth Fellowship. Go to TLTF.org. John, I know your voice is equally as wonderful as mine is today. I hope you have a very blessed day, and good healing to you.
Thank you, Rob. Same to you. God bless you, and God bless each of you listening. Thanks for taking your time to do that.
Wow, there you go. A lot of great answers to questions that many of us have about free will versus God's will, and is everything planned out? Are we right where God expected us to be? So on. And John explained that so well. If you'd like, go back and listen to the show again. It's absolutely free. It'll be on iTunes. Just go under Rob Ekno, and you'll see all of the shows listed there. Just click it on and listen and enjoy. It's all free, courtesy of our loving Father God. I hope you have an amazingly blessed day. We are going to leave you with the wonderful sounds of Mr. Barry McGuire, as we do stand and salute the greatest country in the world. God bless to you and yours.
Oh, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. We'd like to thank all the men and women who gave their lives to build our history, gave to us this great and mighty nation, conceived and brought forth in liberty, dedicated to the proposition that we are all created equally. Our founding fathers' great determination gave to each of us a legacy, and now it's our time to build a tomorrow.
it's our time to live the legacy. Oh, yes, it's our time to build a tomorrow, answering the call of destiny. We will be the best that we can be. United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And now it's our time to build a tomorrow. It's our time to live the legacy. Oh yes, it's our time.